googlemotherfuckers.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the Call to Bean, you cop-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Your next comedian, everybody. You're gonna love this guy. He's funny. He's real cool. He has a really cool hat. Looks very happy. Put your hands together. Everybody, put your hands together for the next comedian.
Yeah.
Ian Ellis.
Ellis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One more time for our host.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't he look like Will Smith?
Yeah.
Like Suicide Squad if they did a gap commercial. I'm one of the bad guys. I also like winter fleece. He's handsome. It's okay to laugh. There's a couple here on a date. So, you know, I don't want
to... Send your date.
Oh, Jesus.
She's that tight.
You're swiping in the right direction.
Definitely not on a date.
I'm just hanging out. Maybe. Touch. Is there any smooching? I don't need to get that deep.
Yes, seriously.
Hey guys, there's four of us here. Let's make it as awkward as possible. So what kind of stuff do you not like talking about? I pee a lot. It's terrible when there's only five of us here. Because I'm the one that was peeing during his Brian set.
That's funny.
It's not
I even know.
If this was a cordless mic, I'd be peeing in the middle of my set.
Yeah.
8 minutes is way past my record. That Hulu commercial they had Creed in. Who's just talking about that? I love boxing movies. Did you see the one about the guy that was the greatest boxer in the world? He was a white guy. That's just hilarious. That was made up. White guy hasn't beat a black dude in like 25 years. Maybe UFC, I don't watch that sport. Paintings, if this is Google, it's your friend. I don't know if they're good or not, but your friend definitely has shrooms. So if you can give me a call, you know, I love April and the other gorillas. No, this shit is super dope. I'm not making fun. Date night. I was gonna do a joke about date night, but now it's all awkward. Like, is it me or is Buddha calling? Somebody's getting all the text messages. So my dad died last week. He's not gonna be sad. I'm gonna make fun. It's gonna be funny. I'm in the hospital with him. We're in the ICU. And I'm holding his hand and I'm watching him take his last breath. Very sad. Yeah, he's dead. He's definitely dead. His hand was cold. It was creepy. I didn't want to touch it anymore. But he's dead. And 5 minutes later, the nurse said, "So your dad has donated his body to science, and we may be harvesting parts of his body." And I was like, "Oh, he had cancer and everything. Maybe you don't need to do that." And they're like, "No, his eyes are probably still good." I was like, "Oh, he had cataracts. He was going blind." They're like, "Oh, they can clear that right up. We'll probably just take his eyes." I was like, "He just died. Can you please not talk about scooping his eyes out with ice cream scoops? Can I have like 5 minutes before I find out you're going to take his eyes out?" It's terrible. So now we're planning the funeral. And we go to the funeral home. And we tried to go with the cheapest package possibly available, because I think these funeral homes are scams. They're preying on people. You're vulnerable, you want to do the right thing, you love people, and they're going to charge you for it. They want that money. They're going to make you feel like you're a terrible son. So we went with the cheapest one. It's still $2,200. It's a lot of money. And they're like, "So, you know, credit or check?" And my mother's like, "It'll be check. Does it have to be, you know, right now?" And I'm like, "Well, it doesn't have to be right now, but it does have to be today." This is like the veterinarian where they're like once they do their service, they know you might just not pay that bill. Because what are they going to do? Are they going to dig them back up? My dad was incinerated. I wish there was payment plans. You just send me like a teaspoon of his body at a time. I feel like if that was real, like some people would take advantage. They just put the soot in there. trying to get a couple more payments from me. So trying to get us to get this urn, they want to put a plaque on it. And it's like, this one is $100. And this one is $1,000. This one is $1,500. I was like, we'll only see it for like an hour, right? And then it's gone forever. I have a Sharpie. And my sister was like, fuck that, I got a knife. It's made out of wood, I'm carving dead in that motherfucker. And then my wife looked at my mother and she was like, are you sure you want your kids here? Because they seem like jackals. I don't think they're taking this seriously enough. My dad, he had cancer. By the way, they're cremating him, but he was so small, Dan, you could probably just fold him up and stick him in there. You probably could have made that work. I don't know if fire has to be involved. He was getting so skinny toward the end, and he felt bad about it. And I was like, Dad, next time I see you, you're going to be wearing my nephew's clothes. But, 60 years old and some fresh ass toddler clothes, you're gonna look great. The dumbest dude in chemo. The SpongeBob hoodie he has, you're gonna be killing it, Dan. Smashing mad puss. So we went to get the bill, and they're going through all the things that are like included in the package. And they're like, all right, package. It's like, but this one thing, that's considered merch. So there's tax on that. It's like, there's merch at the funeral parlor? This doesn't seem like the place to put shit up. One of the things they had us negotiate was the website. Where they were like, so we'll be making a website for your father, and there's the basic package, and the extreme package, and the live notification, and it comes with an app package. And I was like, he's dead, it's not a social media event. How about just a regular obituary? How much is that? I don't need the full Facebook coverage. I swear to God, they would have made his body a Wi-Fi hotspot if they could. If it's $200 more, we'll make sure that your father is a hotspot for the next 25 years. My dad, at the end, he started being delusional. He was saying funny, weird shit. So it's like sometimes like talking to a regular person, but sometimes it's like talking to somebody that like talking in their sleep. And like at one point, he looked at my mom very seriously, and he was like, "I have a helicopter. All we need is a Halloween mask." I don't know what the fuck that means, but I'm gonna go have a smoke break. This is a weird way to spend our last moments, Dad. He looked at me, he was like, we have to take the horses. I was like, where are we taking the horses, Dad? He said, California! At some point, for no goddamn reason, he just popped up and gave two peace signs. I said, what the fuck is going on in your head? The doctors were like, do you need anything? I was like, yeah, the drugs that he's on. He's having a great goddamn time. This is super sad for me. What the fuck? He kept talking about how his teeth were tingling. I was like, did you give him Molly? I better not show him my goddamn medical bill. Cocaine and Adderall. God damn it, Dad. You're like, focus up. Out in China, you know, they're super weird. They make real sex. They have panties and a vending machine. It's a great idea. Bottom row is all different kinds of tampons. I hope they don't sell the used ones. This is so gross. They have the tiniest noses and they're into sniffing stuff. Sniffing panties. Hey, man. You know what all Asian people look like? They're wearing Lego people. The short, the yellow, and always building shit. Everything is awesome! China. China. So there's like real sex dolls. Like if you can't get no pussy, you know, you can just like buy a plastic bitch. A giant Barbie. It's a giant Barbie doll. But some weirdo decided to start making them for pedophiles. Or making them for kids. And I was like, that better be online because I can't imagine the Build-A-Bear. So you show up looking for your sexy kid. What poor mother with like an autistic kid walks in there and is like, he just needs to feel like he has a brother. And there's some pedophile looking at her son and just ordering the same thing. Yeah. With a red hoodie and some short shorts. Yeah. Oh, do you have one? What are you like? Can I have some rosy? What color is eyes? Is that hazel? Color? Can I get a pink swatch next to this young child's eyes? I just... You got any childhood? You got any family photos of it? You know, for my doll. For my doll that I'm definitely not gonna fuck. I just have a backstory. If I can have access to your ancestry.com, I just wanna know a little bit more about you for my doll. I'm definitely not gonna fuck with my doll. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Yeah. Yeah, good up for Ian. That was freaking hilarious, man.
Yeah. He's peeing.
Oh, he's peeing?
Yeah.
Yo, I don't think the bathroom
she
works.
You got the Adderall, all cocaine.
Oh, I went the way.
You go.
All right, guys. We got one more comedian for you. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Kimberly Marion! Yeah!
Hey, man. Thank you for hosting. Thank you. I appreciate it. Sexy man bun bartender.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
Woo!
Make great drinks. Thank you all for kicking it. I ain't gonna talk shit about y'all kicking it.
Thank you.
Fucking comedians are so goddamn obnoxious, you know? Give them a little piece of information and they turn into fucking CIA and shit. Talk about some real shit. Now, my brother's in jail. He's in jail. What's interesting about that is my brother managed to show... he managed to show his set to his, like, cellmates and everything. He's like, hey, Kel, like, everybody's really proud of you. You got fans in here, man. A whole crew rock with you. And I was like, wow, my following is going to be the shit in, like, 5 to 6 years. Like, when they get out, they're able to make probation. They're going to, I'm going to take over the fucking world, man. It's amazing, because, like, for me, like, people are always surprised about, like, my past or whatever, because... Like, I was, you know that nerd in the hood? Like, that one that all the teachers were like, that's the one that's gone. That was me, okay? That was me. Because I grew up in a crazy household, you know? Like, stepfather was an alcoholic. What was crazy about it, though, was, like, my brother was a gangster disciple. My brother was a GD, you know? All right, a gangbanger, you know? My stepfather was a vice lord, okay? Now these two gangs don't like each other. Okay, so I have it living in the house. And what's crazy about it, my stepdad would be like, no, I'm a conservative vice lord. And I was like, what is the definition of conservative vice lord? Like, I know, like, your gun issues are pretty on the conservative tip. You're probably very pro gun, I understand. But like, do you tax your weed and cocaine more if you're a conservative vice lord? Like, is that what happens? Are your prostitutes not allowed to have abortions if you're a conservative vice lord? Is that what happens? My stepdad was, he was an alcoholic there, like, but he wasn't one of like those angry alcoholics. He's like one of those fun alcoholics. He was, dude. I remember he'd have like daddy daughter day and he'd take me in and my sister would go and we'd go to Chuck E. Cheese. Now I thought that he was going to Chuck E. Cheese because he was having daddy daughter day. What I realized is that he took us to Chuck E. Cheese because Chuck E. Cheese serves alcohol at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, my stepdad would drink pitchers of alcohol while watching the animatronic band just screaming at him. He's like, Chucky, you should just go solo, bro. I was like, fuck the ball pit. The ride home was way more fun than anything we did at Chuck E. Cheese.
Thank you, guys.
bitch, man. I grew up in a crazy asshole. Like, I can't even make that shit up. I love, like, I see a lot of, like, movies coming out lately, and it's all been, like, space movies. Like, I saw Interstellar, and there was Gravity, you know, and there's, like, another one coming out with some more white people going to space. Shit. And, like, what I realized is, like, what the movies are really telling us some shit. Like, the movies are really saying, fuck Earth, we give up. All right, it's a wrap. There's no saving the shit. We gotta go somewhere else. Like, Earth to people now is just like a 1972 beer gum side of the road. Like, fuck it. You can't fix it. It's not gonna run. It's not gonna fucking work.
White people.
Yes, there are white people here. But no, you know what I find about it that's so interesting to me is that, like, I feel like white people are more tense than, like, minority groups right now. Like, they're way more tense. And you know what frustrates me is, like, this is the thing that frustrates me. It's like, all right, like, we have an issue where we still have, like, poor white people, like poor white groups, right? And everybody's like, oh, I'm fucking poor whites, so uneducated. All right, so, okay. And what's funny about it is there's, like, the biggest group of people going to college are minority groups. And I'm like, man, like, you guys have, like, you guys have set a goal. Like, originally it was like, yo, all right, if you work a job, then you can come up in society. So, like, minority groups, we started working jobs. Women and African Americans and all started working jobs. And they're like, if you get an education, you can make it in a society. And all those groups are like, shit, let us get us an education because we can make it in society. I just feel like old white dudes just keep moving the fucking goalposts. It's like that kid that you play football with in the backyard and they keep changing the rules so that they can keep ahead. Like, no, 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 no. The goal now is 30 more feet. You, like, motherfucker, I'm in the end zone already. Like, what the fuck just happened right here? All right, I'm done. My name is Kimberly Mary. Thank you guys.
Yeah! Guys, get up for Kimberly.
I don't celebrate. You could actually stick it in there. I don't celebrate my birthday.
I have a wife. Like, it'd be easy.
No, it wasn't for birthday, Courtney. It was purely.
She's talking about a GPS.
I have a fucking. All right, dude. Don't make me sound like a perv. Here's what it is. I don't celebrate my birthday because I didn't have a process. I wasn't a part of it. All I did was come out. I didn't actually try to get...
What? I had nothing to do with America, but I celebrate that shit.
I don't celebrate that. I celebrate drinking.
I mean, it's what you took part in?
That's what I take part in every 4th of July.
Saturday through Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, I don't actually take... I think that's... I think the whole birthday thing is stupid. I think it gives people the opportunity to self-congratulate for no apparent reason besides coming out their mom's twat.
Are you cool to drive when we smoke this, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. KB rolled her first joint today.
I did. And it turned out pretty damn good. It's diesel. It's diesel. All
right, so here's the weird thing. It's like, you're set, so you'll hit the set before this. You're kind of talking about how strange your life is. Like, your brother, you know, he's a gangsta-ass dude. Stepfather, gangsta-ass dude. So you're like, you're half hood, you're half nerd. You're like, you're in the burbs, but you're like first generation.
A third hippie.
But how old are you now?
I'm 33.
33, and this is the first time you've rolled a blunt?
You know what it is? Because, see, that's the nerd part.
Didn't know any black people?
No, it wasn't about not knowing any black people. It had more to do with the fact that I felt like, you know what, like, it's more cost efficient, and this is the nerd in me,
It's more cost efficient to like not smoke blunts. Like if you have a glass piece, you have a hitter, you have your whatever, it's more cost efficient. You know how, like, you know how much weed you waste smoking a blunt. So I always smoke out of pieces.
That's not nerd, that's Jew.
Well, I'm part Jew too. Actually, my last name is Jewish. It means bitter in Hebrew. Yeah. Legit. So
man, see, I grew up.
You grew up choking.
I grew up. I wanted to be shit.
Kitty, just do Kitty be talking.
God damn, it's some good shit.
Yeah.
I grew up, I wanted to be Tupac. Tupac smoked blunts. So I was like, blunts is the West Coast thing. I'm trying to smoke that shit. That's the way weed is meant to be smoked. If it's good enough for Snoop Dogg, it was good enough for me.
Well,
shout out to Jay Washington.
Yeah, shout out to Jay for smoking with Snoop Dogg, which is on everybody's bucket list.
Yeah, buddy.
Nah, I legit just straight up enjoy smoking out of glass pieces. Because there's always a story. There's no story about how behind, like, going and buying, like, fucking blunts. But there is a story behind your glass piece. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's the crazy thing is, like, I can never justify spending money on weed. And then finally I went and I got a grinder and it, like, changed my life. I was like, this makes it so much better, so much easier.
So much and it's more cost effective.
So I imagine getting your glass piece, it's like most of them, they're not that cheap, especially if you get a nice one. You're buying it for a reason, like to justify spending that money. You gotta want it. You gotta be about that life.
Yeah.
I bet there's people that have glass pieces and they're just trying to fit in. They got like the coldest glass piece, don't know how to use it.
I've ran into that a multitude of times actually. Where I'm like, you know you're smoking this from the wrong end, right? And they're like, I can't tap that. Just tap it a little bit. Get rid of that ash. But
my roommate in LA had a gas mask. he didn't use it. He didn't know about the, like, release valve. And I was like, no, dude, this is it. I figured this out right away. We're smoking weed from now on.
You weren't supposed to hit it. I just asked you to fucking tap it. See, you've been smoking around black people too much. That's
a little bit of work, and that means you earned something. And what I earned in this case was a hit of that legal nicotine, which they sell here in Illinois.
Which is, like, on every corner. Like, people look at you stupid when you ask to buy weed in California. In California, if you ask somebody to buy weed, they're like, dude, just get your fucking card. Like, you look like a slacker. You know, like you didn't get your card?
Well, dude, it was like, if you want to kill that and then toss it, or just stop.
Just toss it. Oh, my God.
So, in Colorado and L.A., both of them, I would show up at places and be looking for the person that had the weed. And both of them was like, yeah, we don't fuck with weed, or I got it at home.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't out with it. They were like, yo, yeah, let's go smoke right now. It was a different vibe. Like, fuck that shit. You're supposed to bring it out with you. Come on. This is how we find each other.
Yeah, out here, but like out in Cali, everybody
smokes.
I would say 65%, 70% smoke weed. Or if they wanted to, they know they could. So it's not really a big. That's the reason why the legalization of the marijuana law there was so incredibly stupid, because it really was giving more power to corporations and different legislation to happen than it was for the legalization of weed. Unfortunately, I voted for in Illinois, so it really didn't make much of a difference what I thought about the whole process.
Let's go for a more exciting topic. You're teaching. You're preaching. You're giving people the ballot.
Dude, motherfucker, I don't give a fuck about that.
You better kill that person. They're not cutting you off. Eat a dick, Russian dude. Fuck you and your bride. I bought your wife on eBay. Motherfucker, you're not a man.
I don't listen. See, this is a problem with motherfuckers today. Like, motherfuckers don't want to hear that real shit, man. Motherfuckers don't want that little shit that make them feel okay. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear that real shit, man. I'm speaking real shit, man. That was a bullshit ass ballot. Everybody smoke weed in California anyway. What's about to change? You're just about to jack up the prices on fucking weed. Right now, You know how easy it is to get. All you gotta do is walk along any street and be like, I want a medicinal license. Somebody like, hey, you got $40? And you're like, yeah, I got $40. And they're like, here you go. And you're like, I'm from out of town. Doesn't matter. Pay an extra $50. All right, cool. And then you could buy fucking weed.
They got business cards that say like free appointment.
Yeah.
Like, you just pay for the paper.
Yeah.
The prescription.
Yeah, so, like, I was just like, why are you guys legalizing something that y'all act like is legal anyway? No cop give a fuck about you smoking weed in California. Why are you letting corporations into this shit?
All right. KB.
I'm not a flat earther, though.
Since people last listened to the Laugh Factory podcast.
Oh, my
Real
God.
Real friends. Shout out. You have moved away. You've joined L.A.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not joined LA. I've just moved to LA.
You've been integrated by the board.
Dude. Alright, go ahead.
What is their comedy scene like? How would you describe it?
I think there are good comics on the scene, but I think they need to break out the box. I think that there's too much of care of what the industry wants or expects, or what people think the industry wants or expects. I think that's stupid. Like, don't. That industry have barely knows what they want. Why are you catering to them?
Well, I was saying,
we create the trends of what it is. Why not just create what you want? You know what I want? You know, when I get back to LA, because I'm out in Chicago right now. When I get back to LA, I want to create a show where it's fun. Everybody takes it too seriously. And
that's
comedy
you keep coming back
fun.
To. You said they're not having fun anymore.
Not having fun, man.
What does that mean? What is fun? Like, what is like, the fun they're missing out on?
Being a comic. Who wouldn't? Dude, you know how many people's like, man, I wish I, that looks like so much fun. I bet you it's nerve wracking, but I bet you it's fun. And I get that all the time.
I was saying to my boy the other day, at every job, you're not allowed to talk back to a customer. You have to be PC. You have to toe the corporate line.
Yeah.
Every fucking goddamn job. Comedy's the only job where you get to go, you know what, yo, you guys are all fucking assholes. Everybody's fucking stupid. You're the only one that gets to speak for those people. And everybody fucking hates it.
Yeah, you know. And I think that, like, that's what LA is missing. And that's what I really want to bring with the show. Is like, yo, man, stop thinking too much about, like, industry. Stop thinking about that shit. They don't know, they really don't know what they want. They just want somebody who knows what they want. You get what I'm saying? That's the next trend, is people knowing what the fuck they want. And if you don't have that, then what is the point? Why would you want to be cookie cutter? Why would you only want to have 5 minutes? And what if you do get on and all you got is those 5 minutes? Where are you?
The thing that trips me out is this idea of like what the mogul is versus what selling out is.
Yeah.
And also like we're in like a new world. Like now it's like you don't need them anymore. Like they're the old model. You can have your own special. You can shoot your own Netflix. You can do it. I've seen it done.
Yeah. I think it's not even just about that, but there's still so much buy-in. Don't take the industry for granted, man. Don't think that money ain't big and people still don't want that. And I think that a lot of times a lot of shit get caught up because motherfuckers are so into, well, what is the right thing to say? What type of joke should I have? What is funny to you? What makes you laugh? When do you have a good time?
Does it make like, you giggle? With
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Get off that shit. It's not worth it. It's not worth anybody's fucking time or experience to have that mindset. It's disheartening. And it takes away the integrity of what is fucking stand-up, dude. Like, come on now. Like, have fun with it. Just have fun. That's be funny. Have fun. Don't hate on nobody. Let people have opportunity. It's all right.
There's enough pie for all of us.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Nobody's taking away from you.
Yeah,
you do fine.
Yeah, yeah. There are comedians that you don't even know. There are comedians that I don't fucking know that are making their bread, living their life, having a good time doing stand up. And I mean, I think that's dope. I think that's what I aspire to, shit.
Yeah, I think, like, Kyle Kinney's doing his own thing. Pete's playing the game. You know, he's about to have an HBO show. So, Stanhope, he said, I'd rather hang out with the worst comedian than the best audience member. And I was really vibe with that, and this idea of, like, you know, comics first. Like, I'm down with that. I'm down with supporting my people. But it's getting so big, and there's so many genres that it's, like Mike Davis talking about the idea of, like, if you're friends with one of them, you gotta be friends with all of them. And I'm feeling like, like, yes, it is comics first, but no, it's not, like, I don't have to be friends with everyone.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, there's room for me to have my own space. Like, the thing about Hollywood is, like, you keep sucking that dick, eventually something's gonna come.
Yeah.
But you gotta get in line to suck that dick. So it's like, I don't even wanna fuck with that shit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, I'd rather stay in my own lane.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of, I'm like, are you just trying to make it into the industry, or are you really a comic? Because, like, as most comics, like, I've worked with some real cool comics, and all they want to do is have fun, be good, make the people happy, let them have fun, and that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you about this. Like, there's a Chicago comic, not, like, friends, but they've always been down for me. They've always showed me love.
Yeah.
Like, I want to support them. And they're getting bigger, and they're saying crazy-ass shit. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people are attacking them. I'm like, you know what? My thing is, I'm not taking a side. Like, I love them as a person.
Yeah.
I don't want to have an opinion on their opinion. But is it my responsibility to be like, yo, you kind of fucking it up? Or, like, I don't even know how to feel about it. Because I want to be comics first, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, this person's, like, out of their fucking mind.
Yeah. Yo, man, I'm honestly, it depends on how close the relationship is. For me, it's usually, I'm comics first.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Because a lot of these motherfuckers, that's how I met them.
Well, listen, like, Ann Coulter was on Race Wars, and she was like, comedy is so much more honest than politics.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she couldn't believe our integrity, and that integrity makes me go, like, listen, if you've gone through what I've gone through, I feel like you have the integrity. Like, I vouch for that.
Yeah.
But then people are fucking retarded.
How so?
I don't even want to get in. Like, Kurt Metzger right now has a beef with Cameron Esposito. And
yeah.
Cameron was mad at him because when they were going after the guy that was accused of rape at the UCB,
yeah.
Kurt was like, how about we not judge this on social media? How about, like, we let the courts work this out? And people just said he was on the side of the rapist. And then Cameron came out on that side.
I think he's on the side of objectivity.
Of objectivity and justice and, like, reality.
Yeah.
But Cameron just, like, read the headlines and came out and was like, I'm not afraid of you anymore, Kurt. It's okay for women to feel like they need a safe space. Like, that type of shit. It's like, I love Cameron, but I also want to be like, bitch, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, read the guy. Could you do the work before you have the opinion?
I think that misinformation is on both sides. And I think that, like, we gotta be careful of...
And I wanna say to Kurt, like, yeah, misinformation, like, she was good to me. She's my Amy Schumer. Like, you stick up for that bitch all the time, and she has got some shady, low-quality shit to be ashamed of. But I understand it. Comics first.
Yeah.
And I feel that way about Cameron. Like, that's my Amy Schumer. She's always been good to me. Always made time for me. Responded to calls, messages. Like, I love that chick.
Yeah.
Nothing but nice.
Nah. I rocks with Cameron Esposito. I would say this, though. Like, you do have to be fucking objective at all times. Because in a digital age, anybody can pull up any shit. I feel like we are in an era where motherfuckers, my opinion is verified by fact, not my opinion is based on the fact that's given. So, like, my opinion is verifiable fact. Like, I can make this. It's like this one dude I was talking to, he was like, oh, statistics, you can make them fit however you want. He's right, you can.
Yeah.
You can twist the statistics however you want. That's the same way a lot of people do with facts. And I feel like if you already have your own shit, you already gonna be biased. Like, there are certain things that I'm already biased about.
Let me ask you about this. All right, so.
Like, if you can't own up to that, go fuck yourself.
I was at work the other day, and I see, like, a brief snippet of a news report, all right? Yeah. Old white woman beaten up by a black dude.
Yeah.
They show the old white woman.
Oh, I saw that.
And then they show the scary-looking black dude. Now, if I'm that white woman, if you've been attacked, I feel like it's okay to be racist. You're just, at that point, I get it.
I would be racist at that point.
But there's so many people, they don't even know a black person, and they're seeing this, and they're like, I have a nana. And I was like, is it racist to report that, or is it reality to report that? It seems extremely biased to me to painting this idea of, like, the black man is this savage, like, creature to be afraid of.
Well, I mean, that's historical shit, but... To me, I look at it, I think there are things that qualify you to be able to be racist. I do.
They get your order wrong at McDonald's.
Dude.
You know.
No, not bullshit like that. See, that's that white shit I'm talking about. Y'all come up with some petty shit to justify your racism. I'm
if
not saying
that. If they're
late
for work and you're waiting for them, so you can trade shifts.
That ain't shit. The late gene is in a lot of races. I'd say this.
If they're rapping a song you haven't heard yet.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count, man. I'm talking about my mom growing up in Mississippi.
The real South.
Yeah, the real South.
Open racism.
Yeah, open racism. They still got the motherfucking Confederate flag on their state flag. Yeah. When she start snapping off about white folks, I'm like, I ain't even gonna say shit. Because, hey, she's been through some shit. My mom remembers segregation. Ain't that some shit?
My best friend Jason, when his mom died, went to the house to bring pizza to his family, and they said, they don't want any white people in the house right now. And that came from his grandmother, who legitimately hates white people. But then I thought about it, like, at her age, if I had lived through what she lived through, like, I completely understand.
You understand
hating
that
white people and not trusting them to the bitter end. Like, I've seen this move before.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna work on me. I don't trust them.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Even in your death, they like, yeah, fuck them crackers. Like, you gotta... Dude, like, so when my mom gets super, like, these white folks, I can't.
I always say that's the inner chamber. It's like, yeah, for a white person to be there, it's like you're at the family function.
Yeah.
And you've been accepted as you're not gonna turn
tolerable.
Anybody.
Yeah. You're tolerable.
It's okay for you to hear this. In fact, you need to hear it.
It's like when a professional black athlete marries a basic ass racist ass white girl. And he goes to the dinner and like, well, shit, he's leading the league in interceptions. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, well, fuck it, dude. Like, I mean, shit, he's in the NFL. Let's go.
That movie I was thinking of earlier was called Southpaw. Since you heard myself before, I was talking about the movie Southpaw, where the greatest boxer in the world is a white guy. Remember when that happened?
If it is a white dude, he always has to come from extremely humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a nigga, but he's nigga adjacent. Like, it's almost right there. Like,
they always gotta be doing it for their mother.
Yeah, their mother. You know, like,
they're avenging something. They don't want black people. It's like, we're breaking the barrier, okay? Listen, we're proving that, you know, we're as good or better. White people, it's like, but me mother.
I'm just thinking about nigga Jason.
What? What is that?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, like, I'm thinking about the idea of being nigga Jason. Like,
dude, during the white flight, that would be the best thing. Like, listen, the rent, this is an amazing house. And it is nigga adjacent. But the rent, you cannot beat this, okay? I'm just telling you.
The shit is nigga adjacent. What I mean by nigga adjacent is culturally, though. Like, you know, like, when it's I hear, like, old place. Irish be like, I grew up poor, walked my way up through the union, the plumbers union. I'm like, My parents are immigrants, poor, didn't have shit. I'm like, yeah, you were a nigga, Jason. Like, I get it.
Why?
Like,
let me answer this. I was watching a Netflix thing about, like, the Irish mob, like, early days, and they're talking about the Irish ghetto and the Jewish ghetto and the Italian ghetto, and I was like, what would the ghetto in the 1940s be like if they had crack? What would it have been like? Would it have been sophisticated? Would it have been they became all the police? Or would it be fucking South Central Scarface killing each other?
Well, there was the crack of the 1920s and 1930s and 1940s.
And that was that alcohol.
It was alcohol, actually. That is when heroin was really introduced into the American public. You had 1920s home Renaissance jazz artists using heroin pretty frequently. So, like, yeah, alcohol was big, but alcohol was not deemed an issue. That's the way of life. You're supposed to drink. If you didn't drink, my friend was like, you don't drink? You're a Puritan, bitch? What is this? Even the waspiest motherfuckers drink.
It always blew my mind that, like, everybody was involved, like, including the politicians. They're like, you know what? I know this could destroy me, but I want to be cool.
So yeah.
I'm hanging out.
Yeah.
Yes, I ran against alcohol.
So heroin's very alive and well, and a lot of, like, jazz musicians at that time were doing a lot. There was a lot of drugs happening, more so than we even realized, man. They just hadn't named the shit yet and hadn't banned the shit yet, but they was getting turned. It was getting turned up into World War II, man. And it was like, oh shit, motherfuckers are going off to war. Gotta get this shit right.
Alright, let me hit you with this comedy philosophy question.
Go for it.
So, I was thinking, like,
and fuck Rosie the Riveter. Keep going.
I don't really give a fuck who I please as far as the audience. It's like, in terms of building an audience, I don't care if they get me or not. I don't care if they're exactly what I want them to be or not.
Yeah.
I don't care if they like it or not. It'd be great. I want the fans. I want the money. But I don't care.
Yeah.
So I do my comedy just for me.
Yeah.
Very selfishly.
It's very selfish. And if I could use a Trump term, that's dumbly of you.
Well, I was thinking, like, am I an asshole? Like, am I a narcissist?
Yes,
like,
yes,
just
you
doing
are.
For me?
You are.
But I said that to my friend Chris, and he's like, no, idiot. That's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be doing it, but you fucking... I don't want to hear a comic that isn't doing it for him. Fuck that. Fuck anybody that's doing it for the people.
But fuck
the people
that mentality. Oh, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Chris.
Chris who?
Chris Chalk.
Fuck you, dude. No, absolutely not. It is... I would say it's 50-50. I don't like working in the extremes like that, but, like, it's 50-50. It is for you, but it's also for them. Like, if you don't understand that it's for other people, how can you connect? This is how I write. This is how I write, man. I try to write at the human core of an emotion or feeling or thought. I don't try to write it from a perspective purely that's like, oh, I'm only writing from the... I don't want it to be diluted by that, because I feel like at the core of every human is the same emotions. Right?
Alright, so that's like Norm Macdonald. He was like, this thing called confessional comedy. Like, you know, they die of cancer and this, that. And he's like, well, that's everybody. That's my Norm Macdonald impression. And I'm pushing my gut out because he's fat now. But I was like, no, because if you talk about that stuff and you show people that you're still living with, like, dignity and respect, you're redeeming part of the human. Like, there is a service to talking about those things. It's not just self-serving. There is serving the people quality to it.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
No, I'm saying, like, is that what you're talking about? Where it's like, it isn't just about me, I am also serving the people.
Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah.
I want you to think differently, I want you to...
Dude, if you study comedy, it has always been the pulse and the truth of what's happening in society. It's an art form.
Stands on the front lines of social comedy.
Yes, so, like, yeah, it is about you... But it's about you and your connection to the world that you're living at that moment, which goes back to that, once again, that basic human connection.
Reality.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate that shit. I hate when comics are like, fuck the audience. why fuck the audience? Because they didn't get your obscure ass. Yeah, because they didn't get your obscure ass reference. Because
they got a babysitter.
Guess what?
They came out and bought a 2-drink minimum and they paid a door cover. Fuck that person.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, no, fuck you, dude.
The comics are mad if they have to buy a drink.
Yeah.
The audience got to do all this shit.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, fuck that mentality, man. That to me, that is what has ruined a part of comedy, to be honest with you. That's ruined a huge part. Because everybody got into, well, this is what me... No, the me that is shining through that's funny to the audience is a human connection that they understand what the fuck it is. They... Whether it's through thought, emotion, experience, whatever.
They identify
with that shit, the basic aspects of fucking humanity. And what's frustrating is when comedians veer from that and they want to go like, oh, I'm going to make an obscure ass reference. For what? So that 6 people can get it? Or do you want people to connect to the idea, the feeling, the emotion of that? Why are you creating barriers?
As I say, it's not that it's a bad idea. It's that you haven't made it. It's not done until it's funny. Not a bad idea, but just getting the idea across, that teaching, it's like you're not doing the job. The job is to be funny.
Yeah, and that's the only job. Like, when I hate when people... That's your whole job.
It's not part of the job. It's not 50% of the job.
Like, I hate when people are like, that's a stupid joke. That comedian only talks about stupid shit. Yeah, and people resonate with stupid shit. Why? Because they're stupid people. So why are you hating on him for connecting to other stupid people? That's a part of humanity. That is stupidity. Not knowing shit is a part of humanity. Why are you acting as if...
I love that, like, superiority of multiculturalness where they're like, but he's not a disheveled Muslim. He can't be just funny. This is white privilege. We need a wounded Indian. Give me somebody that was molested.
His talks about race and everything is so amazing. Like, he hits it to the core. But are you listening? Do you get what the fuck he's saying? Or is it purely a trend? Is it just trend-worthy to like this fucking... This token right now?
Let me give you another Chris Chalk.
Right.
So he was like, I've been trying to figure out who ruined comedy. The moment it happened. And he said, I finally figured it out. I narrowed it down. It's George Carlin. That piece of shit destroyed comedy. You know why? Because he started getting preachy at the end, but he was still funny, and everybody saw that, and they identify it with, like, oh, if I do the preachy thing, then I'm doing it as good as George Carlin, who's the god of comedy, but they never got the funny part of it.
Well,
and so it's his misheveled abortion of a legacy that has ruined comedy.
No, I think what's ruined comedy is, honestly, I think comedians ruin comedy. I don't think that's the... I think comedians honestly ruin comedy.
We're the only people in charge of it.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Nobody else tells us what to do. We're the only motherfuckers that get to decide.
Comedians ruin comedy.
We're self-fucking... editing or, like, governing.
Yeah.
In a poor way.
And we're cannibalizing.
Yeah. You don't...
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're cannibalizing, like... All right, so this is hot. All right, I'm like, no, he's doing him. She's doing her. That's the reason why it's working. You just do you. Don't try to be a copy of what... Yeah. Don't try to be a copy of what they're already doing. They're already doing it. There's no point in doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know a lot of comedians, like, I don't want to be influenced by another comedian, so I don't watch specials. Who the fuck are you? Really?
Yeah, I always hate that shit.
You're not going to be able to do what they do.
That's like, you want to be as good as you can be, but you don't want to see what anybody else can do.
Yeah.
You don't want to see how you measure up to anyone else. You don't want to learn or grow. That's it. You're stuck. I think comedy's going through like a learning period now, where it was like, podcasts are this new-ass thing. And this idea of a comedy nerd, that's a new-ass fucking thing, where it's like somebody that has comedy literacy that understands, like, setup and punchline and a callback and, like, audiences get that shit now.
Yeah.
And it's getting more sophisticated, but there's growing pains to that where it's, like, it's bad before it's good. Like, it's preachy before it's funny. And I think we're in that period of, like, people's understanding of comedy is getting different and comics as they're coming up. They have access to more information than ever.
This, we're overthinking that shit. And that's what I mean
by...
And
we're all overthinking it.
And that's where comedians kill the shit. That's what I mean. We overthink it. My mom...
But that's the growing pains. I think we're gonna...
My mom understands funny. Yeah. I said, what did you think about the last Kevin Hart special? She said, nah, I like his first three specials. I said, why? She said, oh, well, because it looks like he is, like, almost pandering. And she was like, I don't get it. She was like, I get why people find Lil Rel funny, but I don't find him funny because, she's like, I know the reference he's making, but I'm not connecting to it. And my mom used to go to All Jokes Aside and all that type of shit. But I'll say this fucking much. Every comedy fan, anybody who watches a little bit of comedy, all right, understands comedy way more than some of these fucking comedians. Majority of us take it way too seriously. Take it way too seriously. And at the end of the day, all fucking people want is fun and funny.
Let's talk Kevin Hart real quick.
Yeah,
I love him as a mogul. It's like 50 Cent. He's not my favorite rapper, but he's my favorite motivational speaker. I love hearing him talk about money.
Yeah,
I love Kevin Hart when he talks about building the brand and moves that he's making. I love that shit.
He's a good fucking businessman.
As a stand-up comedian, he stinks. He's subpar. It's a lot of catchphrases. It's a lot of hacky. I say he's the Napoleon Dynamite of comedy.
Is he my cup of tea? No. His first three specials, I loved those specials. Do I think that, like, his last few specials has been the best? No. But I know motherfuckers that quote that shit and love that shit, and that's all that matter. Because those people, what he's talking about is resonating with them.
So here's the crazy thing. We were kind of talking about Kevin earlier. I was like, you know, a lot of comics, they're not funny. Like, off the mic, they're not funny. They're not funny to fucking talk to.
Oh, his interviews are hilarious.
In an interview, he's hilarious. He's deep. He's a comic's comic.
Yeah, and he is.
I think he's like Jay-Z, where he's like, I'm going to play my position.
But
one day, he's going to be the elder statesman, and he's going to be like, all right, now let me show you what I got actually. Let me actually talk about something real quick. I've sold out all the stadiums. Let me clear my throat.
Yeah, basically, I told my mom, I was like, I see what he's doing, and it's amazing. I'm glad somebody was like, do you know how many comedians was like, oh, that's not comedy. They put that box, that limitation. And motherfucker was like, let me show you, damn motherfucker. I'm selling out stadiums. That shit's dope. But do I think that his specials are the shit? No, not the last few. But does it matter? No.
All right, well, let me say this. Like, I hate Jay-Z. I think he stinks. But he's the greatest gangster of all time. He's the greatest player of the game in my mind. So for me to say somebody is Jay-Z means, like, his entire career is not a personal word in it. It's all, like, I know how to make the hits. It's 100%, I'm selling out. And I'm not walking away from the money. I'm getting every last goddamn dollar, which is some G shit.
Yeah.
I respect his moves as a mogul, but he stinks as a lyricist. He stinks as an artist. What are your thoughts on Jay-Z? And that's my Kevin Hart. I'm like, right now he's Jay-Z. Like, right now he's getting every dollar,
I totally get that, and I'm going to say that I don't necessarily disagree with it. I do think Black Album is a fucking classic.
I bought a copy. This is the only Jay-Z album. When Tupac said, fuck Jay-Z, I said, fuck Jay-Z. When I said, fuck Mobb Deep, I said, fuck Mobb.
Mobb Deep Chino was dope, man. I fucking love Mobb Deep.
It took me 10 years to listen to a Biggie album, and then I was like, God damn it, I've been missing out on this.
Yeah. Nah, man, I'll say this much. Like, I like Jay-Z as the persona that he has, but some of the shit, I'm like, dude, come on now. Like, Kanye changed the game for you. Like,
and now he's saying he's weird. You don't like hanging out with him. You better like hanging out with him. You almost disappeared,
dude.
You were on the brink.
Yeah. Like, and I say,
Linkin Park wasn't gonna save you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
You ain't got the answer, Sway.
Yeah. And one of the best. Like, I usually, I don't really get into shit like that. Like, I don't really give a fuck. I like seeing black people make their money. Fuck it, man. Like, fuck
Hell
it.
Yeah.
But one of the best things I saw was like, yeah, Drake is Jay-Z. And at first I wanted to hate on it because I, like I said, the Black album, Blueprint 3, I fucking, those three albums, the American Gangster soundtrack, that was G as fuck, like, the album that he did with R. Kelly, I rock with that, like, I'm starting to name more Jay-Z shit than I thought, but, now they were like, he hopped on trends, like, he hopped on what was hot, made sure, and I was like,
he did songs with Ja Rule.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, he did songs with Biggie and Foxy Brown, so like, yeah. And so, like, I was like, damn. I was like, honestly, yeah, these little motherfuckers right now, Drake is kind of like Jay-Z. Jay-Z was
he's the Jay-Z of Canada. He fucking, he cops everybody else's shit. He ain't making no moves to fuck up. He's playing the game. He getting every last dollar. I don't know him as a part. I know he talks about being broken up a lot. Here's the thing that drives me nuts about artists where I'm like, if you're past 30 and you got some heartbreak, go fuck yourself. Like, you should have learned how to deal with that as a grown-up by now.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear this 16-year-old heartfelt Justin Bieber shit from a 30-year-old. You complete me? Go fuck yourself. There's another one at the bar.
You know what I don't like about Drake is I'm like, you know you're a man whore, but yet and still you get pissed off that you're a side piece. Like, why do you keep making these you don't know how to treat me. I'm like, you don't know how to treat me? That sound like some basic ass bitch crying at the bar type shit. Like, I'm like, dude, like, and what's crazy about it is motherfuckers, man, dude, motherfuckers got so soft they fucking rock with that shit all day. All day.
Okay, Bizzle, you have a new podcast that is out. Continue straight onto West 63rd Street. We're being interrupted by Surrey. Yeah. You have a new podcast that is out on SoundCloud. Can they get on iTunes as well?
I haven't moved over to iTunes because I want to do some better editing. No bullshit.
So this is KB, that was the co-host from the Laugh Factory podcast, Mad Sets. You just heard her said. What is the name of the new podcast?
The new podcast, because I'm out in L.A., I named it Uprooted and Transplanted, and there's like different segments of it. I wanted to do something a little bit. I wanted to be like, I'm telling you, man, I'm trying to get a job with NPR.
There's a lot of soft whispers. A lot of, coming up next.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the Oak
KB Mary in Baghdad. You know, like, that's the shit I want. Like, I don't know. I think it would be fun to have a show on NPR. And so basically, I started this podcast because I had another podcast. Called like Happy Corner, and I was like, I can't with Amy Blaze, and I was like, I can't do the podcast no more because my partner's in Illinois. Well, we could technologically, but it's a pain in the ass. And so I started up this podcast called Uprooted and Transplanted, about people and fucking, you know,
coming out to LA for the first time.
Yeah,
getting into the game.
Figuring out what it is and what it isn't, and that's basically. And I have different segments. I have like around the town, like dope spots, like in South Central that you should check out, shit like that.
You got
like,
the lick with Leroy.
The lick, and it's just
shout
real.
Out to Leroy Hicks.
Yeah, we pick out. Yeah, it's. I want it to be because like I'll never see the real LA. Like, Insecure is the only fucking show that shows the real LA.
If you want to know the dope waffle spot, okay? You know, it's cool to be there, but you want to know where to eat, too. Then you got to listen to the new podcast.
You got to listen to the new podcast, man. Roscoe's is cool, but Tao's Cafe is better. I'm just saying.
All right. shit, I had an ending out quick. Oh, do you want to describe the mic real quick, the show we just did, so people have some context because it was fucking empty?
It was empty, but it was like, all right, so it was a dope-ass bar.
Super cool bartender.
Yeah.
Polish dude with a man bun.
Yeah. I think you had to have a ponytail to work there, but he was cool as fuck, dude. Real cool.
Dude, the fucking dishwasher walked out from the back looking like a bag of donuts.
He had a ponytail, too. He looked like one of the main characters from Moana. Like,
like Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, like, I was like a waka ola to you.
You uka waka Nikki.
Yeah. So, man, yeah, it was a cool little spot, but there was nobody there, and the host did not apparently really
show up.
And he forgot.
The host bailed?
Yeah, the host
bailed. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. But, you know what? It was a lot of fun. The, two audience members and bartender that was there.
We had
and
two we audience got, members, two comics, and a bartender.
And they were a good fucking audience.
Yeah. They laughed. So there was only five of us in the entire room, so that's why it's maybe not a roaring laughter.
I don't give a fuck about a roaring laughter. I had fun. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. He made good gin and tonics. So what? Check out, what is that called? The Four Star Lounge.
Four Star Lounge. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter and Instagram, I'm K Marion Comedy. And you can go to kmarioncomedy.net. I got my own website now, dude. I'm doing big things.
That's right. Tell your mama.
Yeah.
Right. I'm Ian Ellis at Chicago Open Mic. Peace.